the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If He has said it, it's true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sito keto, moti kate, rito kopoto keta, zudeke ponde kidede. Christianity is a display of divine as two men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need, it will bring to you the people you need, it will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
Ready? All right, let's dive into God's word. Amen, 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 amen. Genesis 15, amen, we'll start from there. The glory of the Lord is here already. We started a series 2 weeks ago. We titled it, The Blood, Our Passover and Our Takeover, amen. We established clearly that our Passover is in the blood. And also our takeover is in the blood. We established many things, amen. And if I try to summarize everything, I may not be able to do that. So I'll encourage you to get the materials. But I want you to be attentive to me this morning. The Lord will be speaking expressly to everyone seated here. How many of you were around last week? How was it? Did you hear from God? Amen. I believe strongly that the Lord will be speaking to everyone present here. I want you to be attentive. There's such a thing as hearing the voice behind the voice of the preacher. On Tuesday, the prophetic unction was upon me so strong. And what kept coming out of my mouth was victory moments. Victory moments. Amen. Now, those of you who were not around on Tuesday, you need to get into this. We're in the season of victory moments. And I saw in the vision, I think I started prophesying to someone. And I began to say how that a person is standing before a shoe. And he's saying, this shoe is bigger than me, Lord. But this shoe is bigger than me, Lord. But this shoe is bigger than me, Lord. And the Lord is saying, put your legs inside. The shoe will not reduce to fit your current level. But your legs will grow to fit the shoe. Hallelujah. And the Lord is still saying that to someone. These are big shoe moments. These are big shoe moments. So do God a favor. When you step out of this service, step out in faith. Step out and put your legs in those shoes. You'll be surprised that they are your size. You'll be surprised that you will walk effectively in them. You'll be amazed at what the Lord will do as you take that step of faith. The Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, how many of you remember that? I believe you're St. Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter. It says, as they left, they were cleansed. Nothing happened while they were still in the presence of Jesus. But when they took a step of faith to go show themselves to the priest, the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. There's something about stepping out on the prophetic word. Faith is not the leap in the dark. Faith is not assumption. Faith is not, well, they say we should have faith too. I'm doing this by faith. You know, there are people that say that. They say, how is this going to happen? Ah, it's by faith too. And they have no clue on what they are talking about. They are not in faith. When you hear them talk, you know they are not in faith. Why? Because faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is a response to God's word. Faith is a response to prophetic word like this. I know it's resonating in your heart. For those who are around on Tuesday, I know something resonated in your heart. And as I'm yet speaking, for some who are not here on Tuesday and are here now, something's resonating in your heart. That these are big shoe moments. The moment I said it, some of you knew exactly what I'm talking about. You know what you have been dodging. You know what you have been procrastinating about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And the Lord is saying, these are big shoe moments. What are you going to do? Step in faith on this word that you have heard, on this prophetic word that has come to you. Hallelujah. We said without doubt, there is a Passover and there is a takeover. And we began from Genesis, looking at God's cure for sin. God's dominion mandate, the fall of man, God's cure for sin. We saw how that when Adam fell, he lost his righteousness, he lost his dominion. And when God stepped in, when God came in the cool of the day, something happened. The Bible says Adam went to hide himself. And God asked him, "Why, Adam, where are thou?" And he said, "I heard your voice and I hid myself because I was afraid." So fear came in. Why? Because he lost his right standing with God. Hallelujah. And we said in the Passover, that is restored. And we said something very, very important, that still in that Genesis 3, something happened. When God came, he had his answer to sin. He had his answer for sin. Man had his plan. What did he do to cover his nakedness? And I took that fig leaves each. Amen. You remember? And I tell you that every of man's attempt to solve his sin problem will lead to more discomfort. Glory to God forevermore. But when God came, what did he do? The Bible says he took the skin of an animal, and with that warm blooded skin, he covered Adam, which was a symbol that sin was going to be atoned for by blood. Glory to God. And he gave that foremost prophecy that sent Satan to walk. He said, "The seed of the woman shall bruise your head." So Satan knew that one day his seed was going to come forth from the woman that will bruise his head. And from then he started doing whatever he could to number one, pollute the human race, number two, identify the seed and kill. He thought that Abel was the seed, and he moved on Cain to kill Abel, but he didn't win. Hallelujah. Another son came by the name of Seth. And the meaning of Seth is substitute. Come on now. I would say Seth is a type of Christ. Is somebody following me? And then fast forward the flood. God had to purify the human race. And the man Noah found favor in the sight of God. But he found grace in the sight of God. And through him, God started all over again. And from him, he had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. We're told that the Japheth gave birth to the Caucasian, Ham, the Afro tribes, they said, Ham, Shem, okay, Asianic race, from whence, what's his name, Abraham came out from. Hallelujah. And then here we come, Abraham 12. God appeared to Abraham. Genesis 12. I think there's nothing wrong with calling it Abraham 12. Hallelujah. Genesis 12, please. It's not Abraham 12. All right, we get to Genesis 12 and something remarkable happened. God called Abraham out of his father's house. He said, "Go to a land that I will show you." And the journey began. God gave him a word of promise. Are we ready now? God gave him a word of promise. He said, number one, "I will make your name great. Number two, I will bless you." Number one, I will bless you. Number two, I'll make your name great. Number three, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So God's dealing with Abraham was for the whole world. Come on now, somebody follow me. So when God began to deal with Abraham, he had the whole world in mind. I'm going somewhere. I'm laying a foundation. When God began to deal with Abraham, he had the whole world in mind. Never forget that. Because when we get to talk about the covenant, you understand how that the whole nations were brought into the Abrahamic covenant. So God's dealing with Abraham was not just for Abraham and the Jewish race. No. God had the whole world in mind. And that was why he made that statement in Genesis 12. That in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God gave him a promise. God began to bless him. When we go to Genesis 13, we saw that the blessing was already working. Abraham began to build influence and prosperity. The Bible says in Genesis 13 verse 2 that Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold, and Lot also that went with him had possession. He was also rich in herds and in tents and in cattle and all that. So we began to see the impact of the blessing. It procured for Abraham favor from Genesis 12 in Egypt. When he got back, we saw that the favor led to prosperity. We also saw that the people who were around him got prosperous. When you read in Genesis 12, you see that Abraham gathered his belongings and traveled. When you get to Genesis 13, he couldn't gather his belongings. The Bible says the land was too small for them. Oh, glory to God. Why? The blessing had made increase. No, it's there in scriptures. The blessing had made increase. The land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great. When you go to verse 12, the Bible says he packed his substance and his belongings and left. So you can imagine how few of things he had. Is somebody following me? But you see, the Bible says, look unto Abraham your father and to Sarah that bore you. For I called him alone. I blessed him and he has become many. We say that one plus the blessing equals many. Equals multitude. As a believer, your eyes must be upon the blessing. Your focus must be upon the blessing. Alright, 13, we saw the blessing working. We saw prosperity, we saw influence, we saw his speaking to the people around him. 14, we saw Abraham, God's covenant man, raising an army in his house. An army of servants, trained in his house. Army them to defeat four kings that five kings could not defeat. You remember Chedorlaomer, the bully. Glory to God. And we're told that when Abraham heard that Lot, his brother, was taken, he took 318 servants, born and trained in his house. Now you begin to imagine how large his household must have been. We're talking about the impact of the blessing. Your prosperity is not dependent on the nation, on the economy of the nation where you live. Oh, I thought I was going to get a response to that. Your prosperity has nothing, absolutely nothing. That's the truth. With the economy of the nations where we live. Your prosperity has everything to do. Your well-being has everything to do with the blessing upon you. Glory to God. And we saw it live. We saw this lived out by the patriarchs. Abraham was bigger than nations. Took 318 servants. No, use your imagination. Can you imagine a house with 318 trained servants? Now, thou excluded the untrained ones, minus their wives and children. That was Abraham's household. What a blessed man. A man who at 75 was like a useless man. Hope you know. You think you feel useless? Read about Abraham. 75-year-old man still in his father's house. God had to tell him to leave his father's house, his kindred. And then the Bible said he packed his belongings. At 75, everything he had, he could pack and travel. See, it's not important how useless you feel. How you thought you have wasted opportunity, wasted life. When you meet with God, it doesn't take him time. Am I talking to someone? In a short time, Abraham became one of the wealthiest men in his time. A man who at 75 was living in his father's house and could pack his belongings to travel. Am I talking to someone this morning? When a man begins to deal with God, the story is not the same. The story is not the same. We serve a God of restoration, a God of speed, a God that compensates, that pays in arrears. Glory to God. All right, then he met this strange man. He defeated the king's return. He met a strange man called Melchizedek. And then he gave him the tithe of all. Hallelujah. Time will not permit me to pause there and talk about the covenant of tithing and the law of tithing. Amen. I've done a teaching on that. You could get it. He gave him a tithe of all. It was a company tithe he paid. He gave him a tithe of all. And the Bible says, Melchizedek blessed him that had the promise. I'm going somewhere. You know, all this I'm building. God blessed him in 12. He began to prosper. Melchizedek blessed him that had the promise. Are you following me? Took him to the next level. Brought him into manifestation of blessing. Now, that encounter with Melchizedek brought the Kashiboko to Saba. The experience of Genesis 15. Is somebody listening to me? Alright, when we got to Genesis 15, the conversation changed. God said, this thing is not just about you doing well. I have a land I want to give you to inherit. Both you and your seed. And God painted the prophetic picture of his generation to come. How they were going to be in the land of bondage and all was going to happen to them. Egypt was going to oppress them. And then we get to our scripture. Hallelujah. We get to God cutting a covenant with Abraham in that Genesis 15. Number one, God strengthening his faith. That's where I'm going. You see, the covenant, the blood covenant, wasn't about God not being able to carry out his word. The blood covenant. Now, God didn't cut the covenant with Abraham because he wasn't sure of fulfilling his word. No! The covenant was to clear Abraham's doubts. That means this covenant is the answer to those questions in your heart. Those unbelief. Do you understand? The pictures God has shown you are wondering, how shall these things be? He said, you look at the covenant. You look at the covenant. It was to clear the doubts. It was to answer the questions of unbelief in the hearts of Abraham. Is somebody following me this morning? It wasn't because God couldn't make his word come to pass. God was able to bring to pass his word of promise. But the covenant was to answer the questions in Abraham's heart. Remember when you start from verse 2 of that Genesis 15, he began to talk to God, Lord, what are you going to do for me, seeing that I go childless? And is Eliezer of Damascus going to be my heir? He said, Lord, you've been telling me sweet things, but nothing is happening. Oh, glory to God. And God brought him forth to another level. He said, come out of your tent, look to the heavens. If you can tell the story of the stars, so shall thy seed be. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And then we said that covenant and that conversation with Abraham from verse 8, verse 7 to verse 29 is a picture of the blood being our Passover and our takeover. Are you listening? All right, so can we read it down? And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of all of the Chaldean to give thee this land to inherit it. I want you to notice it. He has started talking about inheriting a land, which is a type of takeover. That's what we're talking about. To inherit a land. To inherit a land. I didn't bless you just to have money and be comfortable. There's a land to inherit. Next verse. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? He needed an assurance. He knew the kind of world he lived in. And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and she goat of 3 years old, and ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. You know, these are a type of Christ. The heifer, the she goats, or the last thing, and the lamb. They're a type of Christ. It's a 3 years old. They're a type of the humanity of Christ. And when, as we read further, we see what happens to them. Put the next verse on me. And he took unto him these things and divided them in the midst according to God's instructions. And laid each piece one against the other. You know, he cut them from head to tail. Separated them into two. What followed? What do you think followed such last? What do you call that? Dissection. Cutting about. What do you think followed? Blood. Blood, gushings of blood. He pulled one on this side, the other on this side, and there was a pathway of blood in between them. We're talking about the blood covenant now. There was a pathway of blood in between them. He said, but the bed divided he not. And that's also a symbol of the resurrected Christ. Glory to God. Now, the first thing he talked about was the heifer. Heifer is a young cow. When you study, let me give you the scriptures so that when you go home you can go through them. And heifer is a young cow, and that is a symbol of Jesus, our peace offering. When you study Leviticus 3 verse 1, it talks about the requirement for the peace offering. The Bible says through him in Romans 5 verse 1, we have peace with God. So Christ is our peace offering. Do you know that the entire Levitical priesthood was the shadow of Christ? We have talked about that, so I don't need to go into detail. But you see, the heifer was a symbol of Christ, our peace offering. What's the next thing? The she-goat is a symbol of Christ as sin offering. Leviticus 5 verse 6, you see it there. The she-goat is a symbol of a sin offering. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1, the Bible says, he that knew no sin was made to be sin for us. So God made him sin. He was our sin offering. John talked about, behold the Lamb of God that taketh the sin of the whole world. That taketh the sin of the whole world. So Jesus is our sin offering. And that is what the she-goat was meant up to symbolize. What's the next thing? The ram. That's Jesus, our burnt offering. Leviticus chapter 10. Chapter 1 verse 10. As our burnt offering. You know, the fire of God is a symbol of his judgments. So when the deep burnt offering Levitical priesthood, that was a symbol of God's judgment consuming the animal instead of coming upon the children of Israel. Oh, come on now. And it was the same thing Jesus did. Do you know when he hung upon that cross, all of God's judgment fell upon him. He took all of the judgments. Everything that was to come upon us came upon Jesus. Who did it? God did it. The Bible says God bruised it for our sake. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we are beginning to see a picture of what Jesus did in what Abraham was told to do here. I told you the tortoise dove and the young pigeon are a symbol of the resurrected Christ and the new life we've been given to live. Okay, in Christ Jesus. And he told them he didn't do anything with them. He just brought them. That was the symbol of the post-resurrection and the life we've been given to live. Glory to God. A life completely reconciled to God. So Abraham did this. Next verse. Verse 10. And he took and divided them. Next verse. Verse 11. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, he drove them away. Next verse. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. You know what he's talking about. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. Will I judge. Now, when you go to Genesis 12, what was the judgment? Let me tell you something. You know some of the plagues that Moses brought upon the land? The magicians were able to do it. Are you aware? But the game changer was the blood, the Passover. That was the game changer. That was God's last card. When he dropped it, check. So how was God going to judge the nation? By blood. And that was what the Passover came in. So the Passover is the judgment of Satan and sin. Are you listening? And the emancipation of God's people from the limitation and slavery of the world system. Write it down. That is the Passover. That is what the Passover means to us today. That sin has been judged. That Satan has been judged. That the world system has been judged. And we are free from their slavery and limitation. Alright, look at the next thing. And afterwards, they shall come out with great substance. The takeover has begun. Great substance. Next verse. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried. Buried in the good old age. Next verse. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. Next verse. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. I told you what it meant. That God actually went into a covenant with himself on our behalf. Amen. On Abraham's behalf. Next verse. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Are you looking at this now? God began to talk about a land. We read, I believe, was it Numbers 6:23? He said he has brought us out that he may bring us in. And we said bringing us out is the picture of the Passover. Is somebody listening to me? But that is not all that is on God's mind. Freedom from sin, from Satan, is not all that is on God's mind. He said he has brought us out that he may what? Bring us in. Take us in. And what are we going in to do? To possess the land. And that we began to talk about Moses as a dispensation and Joshua as a dispensation. When God appeared to Joshua and told him that now my servant Moses is dead. He's talking about Moses as a dispensation. The job of Moses was to bring them out. So Moses was a picture of the Passover. Them coming out of bondage. But that was not all. What was on God's mind was the takeover. When he called Joshua, he told him, I have called you to divide the inheritance for my people. Are you listening? And I told you that some of us are in Joshua's generation. We have been called to divide the inheritance for God's people. Glory to God forevermore. So what happened in the covenant? God stood in blood and swore to Abraham and his seed. Now, to us, it's not the blood of goat and heifer. That was the shadow. The blood of Jesus was the real thing. So just like God stood in blood and spoke about the Passover and the takeover in the blood of goat and heifer, God stood in the blood of his precious son Jesus and spoke of the Passover and the takeover. Is somebody listening to me? Is somebody listening to me? And he said, in this blood of my son poured out and shed, these people are free. As many as believe are free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of Satan, from the limitations and the slavery of the world system. Yes, and number two, I have called them to possess the world. I have given them the nations as an inheritance. Can I get an amen? Amen. Glory to God forevermore. So all that happened to Abraham was just a sign and a symbol of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I made a statement earlier that God's dealing with Abraham had the whole world in mind. Not just Abraham. He had the whole world in mind. So when God was cutting the covenant with Abraham, he had us in mind. And for sure has brought us in through the sacrifice of Jesus. Now put Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. Amazing portion of scriptures. Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. Do you know we're not the first to hear the gospel? Yes. The Bible said the gospel was preached to Abraham. And it wasn't a man that preached it to him. God preached. Oh God. Look at this. And the scripture foreseen that God would justify the heathen through faith. Who was the heathen? Every nation that is not a Jew. On Tuesday, I told you about God's ethnic classification of the universe. That when God looks at the earth, he sees only three races. The Jews, the Gentiles, and the church. So he was talking about the Gentile nations. That God foresaw that the heathen were going to be justified by faith. I told you. When did he see? Before he began to deal with Abraham. He saw that there was a justification for the heathen by faith. And that justification was not going to be possible without blood. Is somebody following me this morning? He preached. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham. What was the gospel preached to him? Indeed, shall all the nations be blessed. How was that possible? The sacrifice of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Is somebody listening? The blood of Jesus. That blood has brought us in. That blood has brought us in. And that blood has made us seeds of Abraham. Offspring of Abraham. And therefore heirs according to the promise. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? God had you in mind. God saw your face. That evening when he was speaking those words to Abraham, he had us in mind. Yes, sir. He had us in mind. But nothing could be done until his son came. That's why the 13th verse of the same Galatians 3, you know what it says? It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse, let's put it up. Read it. Do you believe this? We don't believe in generational curses. We only believe in generational blessings. If you are born again, you only have generational blessings. Let your father be a babalawo. It makes no difference. The day you say, Jesus is my Lord, your genealogy changed. Oh, am I talking to someone? Your family changed. He said, you are of God. Meaning you came out of God. Your genealogy is short. He didn't say this. You know, you came out of God. You came out of God. You changed families. Is somebody listening to me? In this place, we don't believe in generational curses. No, we believe in generational blessings. We believe in generational favor. Hey, we believe in generational inheritance. Is somebody listening to me? You've got to believe this because your life will go in the direction of your belief. They are no curses. Can't you see it? Someone took the curses. Someone took the judgments. Someone took God's anger, God's wrath. Someone took it. He hung on the tree. He said Jesus took a disposition of the curse. So that we can be blessed. It's somebody here. So that we can be blessed. This is the foundation for our life. What I'm sharing with you. The blood. The sacrifice of Jesus. With generational causes. Where do you come from? That's the question. The question is, where is your roots? Where is your origin? Where did you come from? And that is why we tell you, don't confess your natural natural lineage so much. I don't believe in it. You program yourself for failure. You say, I'm from Okene, we are sons of the soil. Okay, well, listen, when the curses of the soil begins to operate, you will partake in it. Which son of the soil? Am I against patriotism? No, but you must know your spiritual roots. And that is superior to the natural roots. Didn't you hear what God told Abraham? He said, leave your father's house. Leave your kindred to a land that I will show you. He separated him from those natural lineage. And the Bible speaking in Hebrews 11, when you're speaking of men of faith, he says, for they were not mindful of the country they came from. He says, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came from, they would have had opportunity to return. Now you see why many Christians are returning. Because they are conscious of where they are coming from. I say, I'm from Ohafia, we are the sons of the soil. Shut up! You are from Zion. Is somebody listening to me? Your root is in Christ. Don't be mindful of your natural lineage. That's what he's talking about. Hebrews 11. Don't be mindful. Be conscious of your divine origin. Somebody listen to me. I came from God. I have the DNA of God. I have his chromosomes. God cannot fail. Therefore, I cannot fail. I do not fail. No, God cannot be defeated. Therefore, I cannot be defeated. God cannot be buried. Therefore, I cannot be buried. Are you listening? God is not fearful. Therefore, I am not fearful. God cannot be depressed. Therefore, I cannot be depressed. I take authority over every depression here this morning. Anyone that has come here with depression, the Bible calls it the spirit of heaviness. I stand in the name of Jesus. I command that body lifted. And you are free. God cannot be depressed. A Christian should not be depressed. Depressed from what? I told you, just stand in front of the mirror and start shouting. Start shouting. Start shouting, Jesus is my Passover.
Christ, my Passover, has been sacrificed for me. He is my peace. He is my joy. Glory! You just stand in front of the mirror and start shouting. And let's see where the depression will come from. No, imagine God on the throne getting depressed. You don't know where you came from. That's why. God cannot get depressed. How? So, I'm challenged. Does God ever face challenge? You didn't read your Bible very well. You think people leaving you is new? Even God has experienced people leaving him. You don't know. He created Satan as a servant.
Oh.
His name was Lucifer. What happened? He turned against him. He separated. And he didn't just leave. The Bible says he took one third. Hey, man, that guy was influential. He took one third of the countable fraction. Are you listening? So you think it's about somebody leaving you and they are feeling depressed. Even God has expressed it. He created Adam. In his image, he said, now let's make one in our image and likeness. Before he could say Jack, he followed Satan. So you think God has had issues to deal with. But the Bible says, he that seated in the heavens shall laugh. That is his response. Oh, I'm so challenged. I don't know how things are working. No, even God has been challenged. Genesis 1 verse 1 and 2, that was the challenge. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Suddenly, the earth was without form. You think he created it like that? No. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. A tradition says the earth was a chaotic mass. Tohu bohu. Chaotic mass. You may be seated. Sit. Tohu bohu. What did God do? Oh, this darkness. What happened? Satan again? No. He said, light be. That's the first thing. Oh. That's the first thing. Light is the first answer. Light means insight and revelation. Is somebody listening? Insight and revelation. So when you are faced with challenging situation, the first thing is insight and revelation. That is why it's time to listen to God's word. It's time to have total immersion of God's word. It's not time to be calling someone on phone to ask for human opinion. When Christians do that, it's because they don't understand. Listen, challenging time is not time to be looking for opinions, human opinions. No. You will get depressed. Human opinion. It's not time to look for human opinion. They didn't give me that loan, no. I didn't get that grant. I don't even know what to do. Now, I don't know where you are calling on the phone. The person is not going to do anything about it. The person is not going to. He said, is any afflicted? Let him pray. Shaba koko poso to keba. The Bible is clear. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. You sense affliction. You know what to do. Did he say let him make phone calls? Let him go and visit friends or gist? No, let him pray. It's time to switch off your phone, carry your Bible, and a few messages. Even if it's 24 hours, go somewhere. And say, Lord, this matter. Neli basuj de pura bante koskeli aponda kepa. Lige bronda, you worship and pray until light comes. The Bible says, in the midst of the darkness, God said, light be. And there was light. The Spirit of God was present, but he could do nothing until God spoke. The angels of God were present. But they can do nothing until the word is spoken. Is somebody listening to me? God had us in mind. Jesus has been judged. Made a curse for us. That was what we were. It's a curse. It's every man that hangeth on the tree. And he did it for a reason. He said that the blessing. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing is on us now. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me this morning? A Christian should not be stranded. A Christian should not be a slave of this world system. No.
No. There's a takeover. There's a takeover. Are you following me? There's a takeover. Didn't you read? The Bible says when they came out of Egypt, they came out with great substance. They didn't come out with empty hands. The blood began to speak favor. I told you 2 weeks ago that there is a connection between blood and favor. Amen. A very strong connection between blood and favor. The blood began to speak favor. And favor is like charm. It began to move on people without their conscious knowledge. Listen, blood doesn't play fair. Blood, let me tell you, see. That's why I told you, if God has called you to do politics, don't look for popular votes to win. You don't need popularity to win. It's blood you need to win. I mean it. God gave me the revelation. You don't need everybody liking you to win. If I don't even need 2/3 of the votes to win, of the people that are supposed to vote to like you to win. Brothers and sisters, hope you know that there is a supernatural life we have been given. You know, it seems that the guys in the dark world believe in what they have more than the children of light. And that has been the problem. Are you listening? That has been the problem. When you read the Bible, you see strange things happening. You don't need popular opinion. You need God's opinion. You need blood talking to you. I say blood doesn't speak fair. Blood only speaks what it has been offered to speak. So when you get to the arena of blood, lie, not lie, good, wrong, does not matter. It's in the Bible. Did you ever read 2 Kings? When word came by a prophet, his name was Elisha. Elisha wasn't a small prophet, he was a major prophet. Word came by him that the Lord was going to deliver Moab into the hands of the king of Israel and the son and Jehoshaphat. Do you remember the story? Blood doesn't speak fair. And he even gave her the prophecy. He said, make this valley full of ditches. Yes. He said, for thou shalt not see rain or wind, but the ditches shall be filled. You remember? And it happened. And the children of Moab, the army of the kingdom of Moab, came thinking that they had been slain. And they were ambushed. But something happened. The Bible said the king of Moab refused to give up. It took about 700 or 800 men that drew Saul. They tried to break in. The Bible said they couldn't. He did everything he could. He had posterity in mind. He told himself he can no longer pay tribute to the king of Israel. Now, look at what happened. God was on the side of Israel because of Jehoshaphat. And the prophetic word that Elisha gave. I want you to follow closely. God was on their side. But what happened? The story is in 2 Kings, I believe, chapter 3. What happened? The Bible says the king of Moab took his son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel that God was for. Are you joking? Blood doesn't speak fair. I wish God's people will understand what is speaking for them. No, look at this. A heathen king. Why in the realm of the spirit, sacrifices are respected. I told you, sacrifice is the language in the spirit. Sacrifice is the language. Sacrifice is the language. Sacrifice will always summon spirits. Always. Do you know why angels respond to us? The blood of Jesus. Whenever they see that blood, they are bound by oaths to respond. There was great indignation, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. You know what God did? God took. Is he a man offering his son to win a battle? You know, it's not the son being killed. You know what is the element in this sacrifice? Blood. Are you aware? Blood. Blood. Blood doesn't speak fair. Blood covers shortcomings. You bid it for a contract. You know your company is not qualified. And then you are speaking English. I'm not qualified. Maybe the next one. Do you understand what you are? Which next one? You use blood to cover up. That's what I'm telling you. You go home, you break bread, you drink the cup of the communion. And you declare that blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary is speaking for me. Are you listening? The guys in the dark world understand this. They don't need to be qualified to get things done. Have you not seen some of the centers that can't speak English? And you can almost vow that this guy cannot spell his name. How did they get there? You think they are the most educated people from their constituency? Is that what you think? Or you even think they are the wealthiest people from their constituency? Listen, you must understand that light is a game of blood. Except, you see, if you don't agree with it, you have said, okay, I don't care, I want to play small. When you want to play really big, which is God's will for you, you want to play at the level God wants you to play in this life, you must understand blood. Good intention is not enough. Why do I even want to be rich? It's not just to give to the gospel. It's good intention is not enough. You have to understand blood to enter into that place. Do you know it's the same thing with wealth? Listen, you know, money responds faster to blood than to sweat. Go and do your research. Money responds faster to blood than to hard work. Write it down. Response. Are you kidding me? We live in a blood-run world. There's a level of wealth you can never cross if you don't understand blood covenant. As a believer, if you don't understand the details and the power of what God did in His Son for you, you can't cross. You will condescend and remain at the level of being enslaved to Babylon and the systems of the world. Playing small. But if you want to break into where the spoils are shared, He said, you shall divide the spoil with the great, with the strong. Dividing the spoil with the strong and the portion with the great. You must understand blood. Have you not noticed that this world looks like some people have shared it? And you want to break in. You have to understand blood. No, this series cannot finish today. I have many things to tell you. We'll extend it. You must understand blood. It's not good intention. Did you read? God was going to drive out people to establish His own people. The people are speaking English, but the Palestinians were there before the declaration of 1946, of 1918, General Albee, right? The Palestinians were already there before Israel was declared, as he said, in 1948. That's not fair. You know, have you heard people speak that English? That one is even off completely, because when you read your Bible very well, God gave that land to them. They were actually there before. What about the people who were already in the land in the days of Joshua? And God divided land to people with humans inside. Why? He was obeying the blood covenant. He was moving at the frequency of... Let me tell you. Do you know why the covenant is important? The only way out of the covenant is death. If the parties will not keep to the term, the only way is death. Death! It means God is saying, if I don't give you and your seed this land, as I have said, I will die. Kai. If your people don't take possession of this thing, as I have said, I will die. Brothers and sisters, does God die? Are you listening? So those dreams in your heart is not you. Most times God places desires in our heart to bet His purposes on the earth. About all the time. Hannah thought she needed a son. God needed a prophet. His name was Samuel. Who was Samuel most useful to? Anna or God? Talk to me now. God. Who? Is somebody here?
So these desires are the vehicles through which God will work his purposes on the earth. This thing is in your heart. You can't sleep. You know this is what you're supposed to do. And you are sleeping over it. That's God trying to bet something on the air that is bigger than you. We must take mountains. Abraham thought he needed a son. God needed a seed through whom Christ will come. And when you go further, you know that who needed Isaac more, Abraham or God? God. Is somebody listening to me? God. Oh, hallelujah. God. Thank you, Jesus. I told you that God speaking, standing in blood, was to clear man's doubts. It's not because God cannot keep his word. And the only way out of the covenant is death, if the terms of the covenant are not honored. So what God is saying is that, you know that I cannot die. So you know what happened? When Abraham saw these things happen, it had an impression on his heart. You saw Abraham moving with conviction. He knew that God was going to come true. Give me Hebrews chapter 6. We'll read from verse 13. Put it up for me. Let me show you. Don't forget, I made a very important statement. Why are we teaching about the covenant God made with himself? God made through the sacrifice of Jesus on your behalf. It's to clear your doubt concerning his promise. The covenant is not a blessing. Mm-mm. The covenant is to convince man that the blessing will work. The blessing is a body of declarations that God has made concerning you. Are you listening? The covenant is to prove to you that God is able and God is willing and God will bring to pass this thing he has spoken about. Look at this. He said, when God made promise to Abraham, you know the promise is the blessing. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying or multiply thee. Next verse. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise, the blessing in his days. He said, for men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Meaning, when there's an oath for confirmation, come forth out of covenant, there's no more arguments. So no longer argue with God. That's what he said. Don't say, God, but you know I didn't go to Harvard. Lord, but you know I could not finish school. Lord, but you know I don't have a master's. Lord, but you know I don't have anybody in that office. God is saying that oath that he gave through the covenant to you should end all the arguments. Do you understand? Oh, can I get an amen? Amen. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. You know those immutable things, his covenants and the blessing. We might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope that is a which we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalm 105 verse 37. Put it up for me. Let me talk a little more about the takeover and our blood prosperity. Amen. Listen. If money is not by blood, it's not serious money. We can never have serious money without blood. That's what I've been saying. Do you understand? Real money is blood oriented. Real money is what? Blood oriented. Write it down. Real money is blood oriented. Real money is blood oriented. Don't just wait for things to happen for you. Use this revelation to make things happen. Don't just wait. You must be intentional, deliberate. Use the revelation to make things happen. He brought forth also. He brought them forth also with what? Talk to me, church. He brought them forth also with what? Silver and gold. And there was no one feeble person among them. He brought them with silver and gold.
Let me ask you a simple question. Did they work for the silver and gold they came out with? No. It was by what they call wealth transfer. We read it last week in Exodus 12. You saw what happened. The Bible says God gave them favor. And they borrowed vessels of silver, vessels of gold, until they spoiled Egypt. Spoiled Egypt. Listen, Egypt is a type of the world. You know what he's saying? This Passover thing, this bluffing, this takeover thing has given us what it takes to dispossess the world of their wealth. Yeah. Do you ever read that scripture that says the wealth of the wicked is laid for the just? It's real. The medium of exchange is blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They didn't work for that money. The world system has enslaved them. Egypt. Maybe one of these days I'll give you the real story of what happened with the pharaohs before the new pharaoh came in. You know they were manipulated. They took their gold. In fact, let me just give you one of the things that happened. There was a pharaoh that came, and when they saw that the children of Israel were more powerful, more prosperous, you know that already. More prosperous, they had more substance. They were rich in gold. It was believed that what they used to build the city, is it Ramses, the one that is built with gold? Yeah, Ramses. The whole gold that was used to build Egypt were owned by the Jews. Because when you read the story of Joseph, you know that the Jews were well positioned. The Bible said the children of Israel dwelt in Goshen. And they had great possession. When money was failing in Egypt, when people were hungry and dying in Egypt, the children of Israel were in prosperity. Go and read it. In Genesis 45 also, the Bible said they dwelt in Goshen. They multiplied greatly. They had abundance of all things. So years later, they had so much wealth until Pharaoh was afraid. You know, all the things they did was, they said, everybody bring your gold and the government will give you a legal tender for transaction, which was a form of money. You know, the concept of money is Babylonian. Are you aware? The concept of interest is Babylonian. And they took their whole gold and gave them a material made of wood or plant to transact with. Of course, they had the gold. All the gold in Egypt belonged to them. So they tricked them. Gave them some. And then suddenly, the man said, you can no longer buy food or anything without gold. They went back. But you gave us this. I told them to get out of this. We gave them. It was not an exchange. It was a wicked system. But that's what happened historically. Wicked. So what began to happen? A man will go up to his house. His children have not eaten for 3 days. He has to do whatever you told him to do. They didn't have food. They didn't have they couldn't pay for basic utility. They didn't have nothing. Why? Because the wicked system had ripped them of what they had. That was how the slavery started. Glory to God. Now you see why God said I was going to judge these people. Some of you, your fathers, your forefathers, your parents, they have labored for governments, for systems, and nothing had come out of it. They had exploited them. God is going to cause that wealth to come back to you. Is somebody listening to me? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There is money that comes by blood. There's money that comes by sweat and hard work. It's nice you can have some money, but there's a limit you can cross. There's money that comes from dubious practices. 419, Yahoo Yahoo. You know what they call Yahoo Yahoo in Nigeria? Internet fraud. Some people have been sending me a message thanking me for banking with Echo Bank and giving me a number. I say, I don't have Echo Bank accounts. I say, bros, I don't have Echo Bank accounts. Political corruption, taking money in public service, taking the money that belongs to other, robbery. That angel, please edit that in the video. You understand what I'm saying? Money by dubious means. The Bible has already told us the end of such wealth. It's a wealth gotten by vanity shall diminish. So he's going to, I've told you, these politicians, their children will beg us for money. All the ones stealing money. I'm telling you, should we bet? I'm telling you what I know. They will beg God for money. We will sit down and receive the begging. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why? Because scriptures cannot be broken. He said, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. No, it's not going to last to the second and third generation. Watch. Show we are still here. Just watch what's going to happen. Except those who caught the gospel and operate by the principles of the kingdom. No, those words, they're not going to last. Are you listening? And that's why you must not be part of any fraud. Because that word doesn't last. A money with a thief does not belong to the thief. Money is spiritual. That money will grow wings and leave. Are you listening? So you steal money to show. Real wealth is not to intimidate others. Real wealth is a tool for the liberation of others. So when your body is boiling you to intimidate with a new car, you know you have not caught the covenant. Because real wealth does not seek to intimidate. Real wealth seeks to liberate. Glory to God. It seeks to liberate. You see it as a tool of liberation. As an instrument to bring the gospel to many. Hallelujah. Give me Genesis 22, 17 to 18. We're getting there gradually. Oh, glory to God. God has given us this word by blood. Genesis, quickly, Genesis 22, 17. Look at this. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sun which is upon the seashore. You know, the stars talks about the glory of the seed. The sun talks about the multitude. And thy seed shall, I want you to notice this. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. This is our heritage. This is our destiny and our reality. I want you to think on that phrase. Thy seed, is talking about us, shall possess the gates of his enemies. You know what he's saying? Gate is a symbol of authority. Meaning we are taking authority over cities, over institutions, over systems. We are taking the authority from them. Are you listening to me? It means we are going to possess Kalaboso Tokaba, what they have been holding hitherto. Hey. They are already the governors, the senators, some of the bank MDs running financial institutions. Is somebody listening to me? They are already the CMDs of hospitals, the VCs of universities. What he's saying is we will go there because they do not represent the interest of the kingdom. They are God's enemies. We will go there and possess those gates. Oh. What else does it say? Livra so steponde tirazo ste paraniaska. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is our destiny to take possession? They shall possess the gates of their enemies. And that will bring blessings upon the nations. This is the gospel. Listen, any gospel that teaches you that all that God wants you to do is to win souls on the roadside and go to heaven. They say when you get involved in politics, you have sinned. When you try to be visa of a university, you are ambitious. When you try to start a big business, you are carnal. Any of such teachings are Luciferian. Did you hear what I say? They are sponsored by Lucifer. I'm just telling you the way it is. No, what do you think that meant? Possess the gates of his enemies. Taking the nations. Genesis 15, we saw all the Hittites, the Gittites, the Amorites, all the Hittites. What is he talking about? The mountains. The mountains. The mountains. No, you know, when you think like that, you know what you're saying? God brought the children of Israel out to just go around in the wilderness. Go around in the wilderness, receive manna, receive quail, and die. That's what you're saying. Oh. Is equivalent. That reasoning that the Christian should not do politics, should not do big things, should just prepare for Jesus to come. You are saying God brought the children of Israel out just to roam about in the wilderness until he comes to get them. That's what you're saying. But was that God's plan? Why did he raise Joshua? To divide the inheritance for them. We will reach the nations faster when we possess mountains, institutions, cities. When we dominate the systems of the world, we will reach the nations faster. Oh, we will. Do you know how many people have been reached because of Justin Bieber? How many of you know? Do you know how many people have been reached? He has the second highest followers on Twitter. On Instagram. And I think one of the highest followers on Facebook. Highest following on Facebook. At the point, he was the highest followed on Twitter. A young man in his 20s. Early 20s. You see, when he started talking about Jesus, the response from the kingdom of darkness was strong. You, when you preach Jesus on your page, which attack did you get? Influence. To show you that Satan is interested. And what happened? A preacher got him born again. Somebody reached out to him. In fact, there's a guy in New York. That's what he does. Covering celebrities and putting the gospel in them. No, he was the one that got Justin Bieber born again. He baptized him that night, 1 a.m. He said, let's do the baptism now. 1 a.m. Drove to his house, took him to the pool and baptized him. Strategic evangelism. 1 a.m. He couldn't wait till daybreak. 1 a.m. Are you listening? Shagabala Kaposo. And from that day, his life was not the same. That's the time he had to take a break from public life. And they had to disciple him. And they didn't say, stop singing this song. No, that's the foolishness that religious Christians make. But they want to be singing the love songs. When we stopped singing it, the foolish people started singing it. And they started getting naked on TV. Yes. When we stopped singing the love songs. Are you listening to me? And did I ever tell you the story of a man who owned two large casinos in Kiev? Who got born again? You know the Russians say, I'm not born again. Let me sell the casino. His pastor told him, he said, don't sell the casino. We will run the casinos. Listen, he was real. He was looking for what to do with singers in church. Because there were trained evangelists who take shift in the casinos. Because the owner is an elder in church. I'm talking about large casinos. They were employing every week or so. Employing strippers, singers, every week. Because as people are coming, they are getting money, they feel the Holy Ghost taking to church. No, it happened. Maybe you never thought. We're talking about possessing mountains. In your small head, you think Christianity is church. I'm going to preach a message maybe next month. You know the title, Church Begins on Monday. Yeah? Church Begins on Monday. So you're thinking, that is what God is talking about. Are you listening to me? Mountains of influence. Lastly, give me numbers 33, 51 to 53, and then 55. Are you getting blessed this morning? We're talking about the takeover. It's our destiny to possess the gates of our enemies. To take over what they are currently holding. That's what he said. Put it up for me. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you pass over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants. Oh my goodness. You know what he's saying? When you get to politics, you drive them out. When you get to media, you drive them out. When you get to the finance sector, you drive them out. When you get to the sports and entertainment, what do? You drive them out.
And it's deliberate. And it's going to show us how. He said you will destroy their pictures. Meaning you can't think the same way. You can't share the same mindset and paradigm. No. He said then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. And destroy all their pictures. Are you seeing that? Destroy all their pictures. Their mindsets. Their modus operandi. Their models. Their models. Their business models. Their entertainment models. Their drive. Say, destroy their pictures. Oh, glory to God. And destroy all their molten images. That's their external support systems. Their gods. And quite pluck down all their high places, their worship places, the things they trust in. Go to verse 65 now. We will close there. Malige bogosho to kepala. Shabeto kopo roboko sushotepa. You know, this is what has been happening to us. It does it ring a bell? No, let it be on the board. I want to keep. Is this not what has been happening to the church? When we don't take over, that's what happened. He said, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes. Is it happening? You turn on your TV, you can't watch any holy thing. Just watch music. You can't watch any holy thing. You can't watch any holy thing. You get movie to watch before you know there is a gay scene. Oh, are you listening? He said, there shall be pricks in your eye. What happened? We had an opportunity to take over Hollywood. There was. You know, what's his name? The man that wrote Ghost Generals. Robert Leardon. He said something. His grandma told him something. His grandma, some of you must have heard it. He said, God was moving in their hearts years ago in the 40s to move to California, Los Angeles, if a Hollywood area. He said God was moving their heart and his grandpa's heart to move, or move, or move. He says, and they refused. He said they were wondering why. What happened? The ites took over. That was our words, Robert Leiden. He said, we did not go there, son, until the ites took over. You know the ites? The Canaanites, the Gittites, the Jebusites, the Gayites, the fornicatorites. You understand? And currently there's a visual assault going on. There's a visual assault going on. The Bible says, Lord vexed his righteous soul. Have you ever watched a movie and your soul is vexed? You know the content is excellent, but they put something there to vex your soul. There shall be pricks in your eyes. Pricks in your eyes. They have sold it already, and some people in church have bought it. That there's nothing wrong with cohabiting. You cohabit, then when you think you are fit, you go and marry. They sold it in movies. The reason why some Christians find it so easy to sleep with a man or with the girls, because they were programmed over the years through movies. I'm telling you. So they knew how to do it. They knew how to create the mood, to create the atmosphere, to make her fall. To make him fall. Do you understand? Programming. It is said that if you want to sell a lifestyle, put it in a movie. In fact, it said if you want to sell an entire lifetime, put it in a movie. The eyes, those you do not drive away, there shall be pricks in your eyes. Pricks in your eyes. You think yours is to watch football? No, you participate in the process. By the time hidden people buy up the clubs, you'll be shocked that the kind of players they'll be having. Oh, you think that? Listen, Islam has plans for football in Europe. Are you aware? Let me not go into that. And the people are thinking small thinking. They're thinking wife and children, husband and family. They say the most important thing in the world, my family, is not in the Bible. I say it's not in the Bible. Did you hear what I say? The most important thing in the world is not your family. Wake up. That's the relaxed mood that many Christians are. Which the most important thing in the world, your family. See, watch me. Some of you are looking at me strange. Let me take you to the Bible. In Genesis, God gave Adam an assignment. Two of us. Talk to me now. Two of us. He made for him a help suitable. Two of us.
What was the help suitable supposed to do? To do what? To help him carry out. That's why we say purpose before partner. You remember? So the reason Eve was made was to give Adam companionship and to help him in the assignment. The help meet, help suitable. Help. What does the help do? The help helps. Helps to do what? The assignment that was given to Adam. So when her relationship between the person giving to help more important than the assignment is common sense. Go and reason it. No, talk to me now. Now, relationship with Adam and Eve is now more important than the assignment. That's why a lot of people are confused and small and the kingdom is not moving forward. There's a place for the relationship between Adam and Eve. He's supposed to take care of it, yes. But there's a place for the assignment that was given to Adam, for which Eve was given to him. Hi. Hi. Why were you supposed to get married in the first place? To have a helper. To do what? To go to Paris? To sit down by the beach like lizards? For an assignment. For an assignment. Are you listening? Don't get me wrong. There's a place for your family. But you see, we have some theology that abnormally exaggerates, making people relax. No more militant Christianity. Did you read Jesus? He said, those who live husband, wife, children, mother, father for the gospel is in the Bible. It's in the Bible. See, there were people who left. He mentioned family there for the gospel. Everybody goes on social media to say, well, you see, when people don't have a deep walk with God, they are influenced by the ideologies of the world. We are militant people on a mission. Your wife, your husband is supposed to be by your side, militantly advancing the kingdom. Do you understand? I told first, I said, you are not in competition with ministry. So don't do all this that pastors wife do. My time, ministry, you are not in competition. You are inside ministry. Are you listening? I just dropped a bomb. Some of you don't like me. Do you still like me? Do you still like me? Say glory to God. Live an inspiring life. Live an inspiring life. Don't live all those relaxed, you know, relaxed life. Live an inspiring life. We are gospel activists. I am. We are activists. Do you understand? We are gospel activists. We are not apologizing for nothing. We are gospel activists. Are you listening to me? He said, drive them out. If you don't drive them out, put it for me. There shall be thorns in your flesh, pricks in your eyes. God is laying on your heart. The minister of health, the CMD of hospital, raise leaders in the medical world. There will be leaders that will bring legislations based on the kingdom of God. You are relaxing. Very soon, people will be dying because they didn't take action. By the time an occultic man becomes the head of the hospital, you know what will happen. Are you listening? He said, when you don't drive them out, there will be pricks in your eyes. What's the next thing? Thorns in your sides. I shall vex you in the land when you shall dwell. Rise to your feet. This diet for saviors. Diet for saviors. Speak in tongues. Lift your hands and bless the name of the Lord for his word. Bless the Lord. Lift your hands and bless him. Shagabalada bosushote. Lift your hands and bless him. I sing praises to your name. Lift your hands and bless him. Oh Lord. Praises to your name. As you are hearing visions, some of you visions were granted you. Some of you, you know you were to live bigger, a bigger vision than what you are living now. Open your mouth and declare it. I refuse to sit down, to sit by. I go forth and I possess the gates of God's enemies. Open your mouth and pray.
Speaking tongues, Shaka Palitos, Liga Bora Rabosa, Montala Rabosa, Shaliga Bronda Sash, Liga Bronda Kepataya, Shalarabonda Sista, Monta Palado, Lebaraba Shataliba Sarade, Lika, don't keep quiet, open your mouth and pray, Shaka Palida, Lebarabasa. Lebota, Lebalaba, Shakapola, Lima Sonane, Liga Baladonsa, Roriasa, Shabolata, Matepola Baya, Malabona Kabaya, Montakapola Rabaya Rabasa. Malarabondasa, Porarabosha, Shakapolaba. Mante polaraba, liga borabasa, malakoba larabaya, shaka palare, leba labaya, telebusa, mantaba, telebasa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look up at me, everyone. In the next 2 minutes, you are going to pray in the spirit. Now, but I want something to be on your mind. I want you to see pictures. Wait, what field, what mountain, what sphere has the Lord called you to function? Listen, what's fair? I want you to see that's fair. It may be entertainment, it may be sports, media, medicine, education, commerce, pulpits, whatever your area. I may not have called your area, whatever your area. I want you to pray in tongues. The Bible says Abraham walked through the length and breadth in his spirit. When God spoke to him in his spirit, he walked through the length and breadth. I'm going to pray until you see yourself making impacts, until you see yourself driving out the heathens, until you see yourself becoming a force in that field. Forget that you are still in school, that's not important. What has the Lord called you to do? Which area? If you don't know yet, close your eyes, pray, and say, Lord, open my eyes to see. Shaka palidas, la gronza shepa, malakopoto,
sashti balada basata. Liga bonda le bosa. Shagabala de bonda. Lika pora basasha. Shalakapos. Shatila tos. Lika pora bas. Can make sense of this message. I know. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. I want to pray for certain persons here. You are here this morning and you have not given your heart to Jesus. You are in this service, you are saying, Pastor, I don't have a relationship with God. I'm not born again or I'm backsliding. I want to be restored. Right where you are, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand where you are. I'll pray. And I'll pray with you. And we'll join in prayer with you. Because listen, don't make the sacrifice of Jesus of none effect. Just where you are, raise your hand. You're saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to have a relationship with God. Raise your hand where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Raise your hand where you are. There are few persons here. Raise your hand. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus died for you publicly, so don't be exalted to be ashamed of. Do you know Jesus was crucified naked, stark naked? Thank you, Jesus. Just raise your hand where you are. We'll pray for you. God bless you, my brother. Raise it high. Nothing to be ashamed of. You are giving your heart to Christ afresh. You are saying, Lord, I've strayed far. I'm not sure I'm even saved. Even though I've been coming to church, I've been going to church. Raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Raise your hand, raise it high. God bless you. God bless you, my sister over there. God bless you, my brother. If you are raising, raise it high and put the shame of the devil. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just come out quickly. Come out quickly. Come out quickly. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Nothing to be ashamed of. When you start feeling ashamed, you are not ready. Come on, I saw your hand up. Just come, let me pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Just come on. If you are joining them, you are saying, Lord, I want something deeper. Just join them. Some of you may not have been coming out for the first time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just lift your hands to Him. Just lift your hands up. Just of Him. I'm going to pray for you and the hand of God will rest upon you. I want you to pray this prayer after me in the congregation of God's people. You can join them to pray. Say, Dear Father, I believe that you love me. I believe that Jesus is your Son. He died for me. He was raised for me. Today I come to you. I want to make it right with you. I want to receive salvation, restoration to you. I declare boldly, can you join us to say it? You have to say something to be saved. I declare boldly that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I declare boldly that sin and the power of sin is broken because of His blood on the cross. I declare boldly that I have eternal life because I've called on His name. I declare boldly that I have righteousness now. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. My sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. I have a new life with Him now. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these ones. Let your fire be upon them. Let it rest on them. You will not leave them until you have fulfilled every word you've spoken concerning them. Lord, I ask that you feed them with your spirit today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. Do me a favor. Just 3 minutes. All right. You just spend 3 minutes with the guys up there. You follow this guy. 3 minutes. Then you join the service. God bless you. And then on Tuesday, we will see you. They will talk to you there. On Tuesday, we'll see you at the New Believers class. God bless you. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
Have just listened to Pastor Erasmus Amewell. the senior pastor of the Embassy of Heaven. For more messages and information, log on to our website, www.theembassyofheaven.org. Stay blessed.